Wake up weekday mornings, LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 1039 LI News Radio.
LI News time right now is 8:05. Just a little bit of an update regarding the storm downgrading now to a tropical storm as it makes its way through Florida into Georgia. Well, of course, a big day tomorrow. We continue as far as getting the candidates all out in the open. It's all part of another spotlight segment right here on Long Island. Another important race, the 6th District. Vying for moving on is Gary Polakowski. And we met Gary a couple of times already, and let's see how he's doing as he makes his trek. Gary, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. Well, it's finally upon us. Boy, I tell you, it's fast and furious with time flying by. The 12th certainly was a day, I'm sure, circled on your calendar. But in essence, it is time for people to get out and vote.
Absolutely. We're at the wire here. We've got another full day of push, and we're right there. So it's critical that folks come out to vote. It's you don't have much of a say if you don't come out and vote. And we're looking forward to a swift victory and moving on to the general election.
Well, that's what it is. And in essence, you know, you're in a district that a lot of people kind of circle. Gary, listen, I live in this district. And quite frankly, you know, you could say, well, what are some of the big categories here? You know, we've seen drugs make its way in, maybe more so in this area than others. You know, we've seen a gang situation all over the island. I mean, there's a lot on the table right now to kind of go forward.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the heroin and opiate epidemic is of our utmost concern. We have a tax and deficit issue that's out of control. We're $2.1 billion in debt. We have an over $200 million structural deficit. We're being fed to death in order to make up some of the shortfall. Our fiscal responsibility is lacking. Residents are leaving. Seniors are leaving. Young folks are leaving. Businesses are leaving. You know, young professionals can't afford to live here. They don't have the jobs either. MS-13 is an issue now. 2 years, 4, 6 years ago, while MS-13 was around, it wasn't the issue it is today. Yeah, you know, we just have a lot of issues here, and there's a lot of things that we need to address. And by, you know, you get what you vote for. So if you look at who we've elected in the past, we've elected somebody who has not led these issues. And is not addressing these issues. And that's why we feel we're in a very strong position to win this year.
You got a lot of support, too, Gary. I'll tell you that much. I saw a bunch of the guys at a press conference way back. You know, listen, you want to tell me Lee Zeldin, Ed Romaine, you know, many members of that Brookhaven Town board in play, Ligurcio, you know, I mean, listen, it goes on and on and on. In essence, there is a lot of support for Team Polakowski here, huh?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's not so much me as it is the leadership that I will be bringing to this position. Dan LaSquadro held this seat before Sarah Anker, and Dan is a big supporter of ours. You know, Jane Bonner, who covers, essentially overlaps this district in the second council district, supports us wholeheartedly. We really need a true partner in the legislature, and we don't have that. In this area. And, you know, more so if we don't have a partnership that can work across legislative bodies, you know, there's not a lot that we can get done. On the state level, I have a good partner in our Assemblyman Anthony Palumbo, and as well as obviously our Senator Kenneth LaValle. So to have good partnerships across legislative bodies is very important to get things done.
Talking with Gary Polakowski, he'll be involved in a primary tomorrow, and his hope, of course, to move on to face off in the general election. Give me a little bit of the Polakowski file for those who don't know Gary Polakowski way back in time. Give us an idea as far as background, Gary, and really the point of time as far as, you know what, got to throw the hat in the ring. Now is the time to get involved in a political sense, if you don't mind.
Sure. My wife and I are born and bred Long Islanders. I grew up in Baldwin, went to Cornell University, moved to Long Beach, met my wife and or my wife-to-be at that point. Hurricane Sandy knocked us out. We ended up homeless, essentially, with the good graces of our families and Janine's upbringing in the North Shore here. We looked at the North Shore of Long Island as a great place to restart and rebuild. And Janine's upbringing in Rocky Point and her rooted family and friends here made the transition absolutely wonderful. And we absolutely love our community, but we have a lot of problems and stuff. And my interest in politics stems from way beyond moving here. My interest is to serve the public, and I've had a good experience as a business person and building businesses and helping other businesses to grow and bringing talent into our businesses. So my legacy I'd like to leave is in the public service realm. Everybody, when you think about what you want to do in your life and what you want to leave to your kids, what I'd like to leave is a community service record and a public service record that that my children and their children can be proud of. You don't go into public service because you need a job. You go into public service because you want it. And that's my interest.
Gary, you got a big background as far as business is concerned, and that, a lot of people look at that. You brought a lot of projects into play here as far as the town of Brookhaven and the economy, 800 new jobs or so, working with the board. In essence, a lot of people say, you know what, you need a bit of a jump start here. We see a lot of kids, we talk about it a lot, kids who graduate, where they're going to go, the job's just not there. Thus, really has a lot of people kind of wondering, the future, not only of the county, but certainly the township, and that's important. Creating jobs and everything else, getting people to stay here makes an economy thrive, no question.
Absolutely. I mean, through the IDA, we work to bring jobs into the town of Brookhaven. I think we discussed this before, but we brought in over 800 jobs this past year in 2016 and close to $189 million in revenue. And then we brought in this year so far a little over $500 million in revenue, and we're on target to bring in approximately 2,000 new jobs. So if you look at what we're doing from the town perspective, I mean, the county could learn a lot. Having a strong background in business is very helpful to anybody who's interested in serving the public, because you have to treat the public purse as you would treat your own. You can't spend more than you receive. And in order to be fiscally responsible, you have to have that ingrained in you. And I don't think that our some of our officials, especially our current county legislator, has that in mind and has that as part of their genetic makeup as they manage our finances. As you said before, if you look at the very basic issue of where are the jobs? Well, if the jobs aren't here, what are you doing to inspire them? What are you doing to create true economic development? You have to go out and attract businesses. Well, how do you go out and attract businesses? Well, you have to work with your town. You have to work with your state to be able to do that. You have to incentivize businesses. You have to market your county to businesses. We're not doing that. Our economic development department is not doing that from a county level. So that's the experience that I bring to the table, understanding that in order to get our our economy moving here, in order to keep and retain our talent here, in order to, you know, build our revitalize our area. We need somebody with business experience, and I bring that to the table.
Gary Polakowski is vying to move on. The big primary, of course, tomorrow. And, you know, we urge everybody to get out and vote if you are in the 6th district. It's an important one because, let's face it, the future certainly depends on it. Gary, you know, much was made last week regarding the legislature itself. You know, red light cameras have been a big-time topic of talk on this program. We've had a lot of people on expressing viewpoints. You know, Kevin McCaffrey, Rob Trotta, they have, you know, they've been very passionate about the usage of these cameras as far as bringing in dollars. And we know there's a big deficit out here in the county. You know, we know $130 million or so is out there. First off, how would you have voted from last week, and what is a way to plug a couple of holes here to try and at least stop the bleeding and get some revenue going?
Right. Well, listen, I support adopting IR 1581, which is the local law to evaluate the red light camera program's impact on public safety. This is not the red light camera program is a money grab. It's plain and simple by the county executive and the Democrats in the legislature, and was sold to the public as a public safety program, but it's anything but safe. You know, it's interesting. I hear time and time again our county legislator, Sarah Anker, say, if it saves one child's life, it's worth it. Well, this program has hurt innocent drivers, pedestrians, and children alike. So, you know, initially the program called for cameras at about 50 intersections in Suffolk County, and now we have well over 100 intersections covered. In the beginning, the fine was $50. In 2014, I think Suffolk County imposed a $30 processing fee, raising the total to $80 per offense. And many of these red light camera tickets are from drivers who are making rolling right-hand turns on red. So, you know, if you think about that, you know, red light cameras were sold to the public to reduce accidents. But by all accounts, accidents have increased after these red light cameras have been installed. You know, the facts and figures are there. 44% of the accidents increased in locations from previous year in 2014, and rear-end collisions increased by 42%. So it's a super profitable business for Xerox and other red light camera vendors, and that's a problem. Our safety is at risk. You know, pedestrian bridges are not the answer, and that's something that Sarah Hanko would like to create. Now, A, with what money? B, to what effect? I mean, suspend the red light camera program, and we are going to be able to study the impact on safety. A lot of this is common sense, and I just don't think we have that in the legislature right now.
And by the way, speaking of that, you know, it's already been documented. We've had AAA on here as far as some of the experts. Rear-end collisions are on the rise here. What does that say? You know, I mean, you know, let's face it, the rear-end stuff, the very muddied view, cloudy view of if this is actually working is still up for grabs. You mentioned the right on the reds. That is still up for discussion. You know, my whole thing is these things are not uniform. If you're gonna put a program in, make sure it works all over the same as far as the changeover. It's not. I can tell you that much. You're going to tell me from yellow to red, 2 seconds is the same as 5.5 seconds? I don't think so.
No, these yellow lights were shortened in the name of profit. And if you look at how this program was executed, if it was executed by the county, not by privatizing this function, we may have had a different result. But instead, we put it in the hands of private business looking to make a profit, and with the county looking to make this a money grab, and you have an unsafe program. That's what happened. So our safety is absolutely at risk, and we have to suspend this program, period. You know, I'm the first person to think of new revenue streams, but this is all the taxpayer's back. This is not a revenue stream, a true economic development revenue stream. This is just a money grab. So, you know, we need better.
All right. So with that being said, I mean, how do you plug holes here? How do you get legitimate revenue into this county, knock off this deficit, and get everybody pretty much, you know, into the black eventually? I mean, how do you do it, Gary? Is it possible? Is there a silver lining out there?
There absolutely is. And in sitting down with our county controller, John Kennedy, our, you know, Kevin McCaffrey, first off, inspiring economic growth is the least painful way to reduce the budget deficit. We need to take out this fiasco money grab that's going on right now. What it's going to net is not even a small portion of our deficit. The mortgage recording fees, mortgage verification fees, the cremation fees, the you know, the alarm fees, alarm registration fees, civil service fees. I mean, there are, I think there's about 35 fees that are on the books that will net about $90 million. I mean, that's not coming close to addressing our structural deficit. So what we really need to do is, you know, is create true economic development, work across legislative bodies and lighten the bureaucracy that's killing our small businesses, help our builders and our developers, you know, with deference to our environment, our landscape, our community interests, to revitalize our area, to bring jobs into our area, attract good, solid paying jobs to the, you know, to the region. And you have to understand business to do that, which, as I said, my opponent doesn't. You have to consolidate and cut duplicative programs, you know, they're across all levels of government. Our county can share services and streamline inefficiencies. And if you just look at Brookhaven, you know, Brookhaven won a $50,000 prize from the state in this area. Our county government can follow Brookhaven's lead. And obviously, you know, a very important part of fiscal responsibility and accountability is cutting government spending. We have to stop using emergency spending loopholes to get around budget rules, and we need to freeze discretionary spending. And we're just not doing that. It's egregious to think that our county legislator would be more interested in buying a rock than actually addressing these very important issues that you know, that we've been discussing. I mean, you know, if you think of the number of parks we have, and I am a big outdoors person. I absolutely love our parks. In fact, most recently, my North Shore Community Association helped to clean up and revitalize Veterans Way Park behind Tilda's. Across from CVS in Rocky Point. But more parks right now is not the answer. To continue to, you know, to spend money when we don't have it is a misuse of our taxpayers' dollar. We need to be spending time and attention to the heroin and opiate epidemic, bringing in jobs, to doing all the right things by our county. We're not doing it. And the more we spend attention, you know, towards frivolous, like, you know, buying a boulder, you know, the worse the situation is going to be.
Well, every time that's brought up, I think of Prudential. Own a piece of the rock, right, Gary? It's unbelievable. Hey, listen, a couple of minutes left. And that in essence, you know, let's face it, borrowing right now, and, you know, you get a poor credit rating, and that's what's happening to this county right now. They've just pretty much indulged way too much.
We're just above junk bond status. We could be put under a, you know, fiscal review board very, very soon.
And I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you this much, Gary. You know, the partisan politics has got to go. I mean, if one is going to survive here, you know, you got to work as a team. You know, we would like to see, I think a lot of people would like to see this legislature work as a team. That's key.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, as a small business person, I have to work with people that I like and don't like all the time. I mean, you know, you have to push business forward. The unique aspect that I bring to the table here is I don't have that voting record in our legislature. I don't have the partisanship that that other folks may have fallen into. I'm a fresh and clean slate. I look forward to working with both sides of the aisle to getting things done. And there's no ego. To get things done, you need to be able to give credit to other folks that may or may not be in the majority at the time that we move forward here. And that's it. When you are able to work with both sides, you're able to accomplish a lot. And I mean, that's how communities work together. Yep. Communities push together when times are tough, whether it be in disasters, whether it be with this heroin and opiate epidemic. Through a community, you can do wonders. Well, you know, the reflection of that community is in our legislative body, and you know, we should all be able to work together.
Gary Polakowski, he is vying to move on. Everybody get out and vote tomorrow. Very important stuff. Gary, appreciate a few, and we will be talking.
Thank you very much, Jay. Enjoy your day.
There you go. You too.